another episode of the Parapet Huddle podcast. I today have Barney on the show, and you guys, a lot of you will know Barney. He's around all the place and he's always involved, and he was actually on our lockdown video for the challenge, for the games challenge. It was awesome. I was really proud when we posted that. I was like, yeah. So he's just going to come on and talk to us about him being an athlete, him being a person, and kind of what he stands and lives by and lives for. So do you want to introduce yourself, like where you started and how you got involved with Parapet Auckland and what you do and yeah, what you're about? Start there.
Well, hi, my name is Barney. I'm 26 years old. I'm from South Auckland, beautiful South Auckland. I got started with wheelchair rugby back in 2008. So started way back with the old guys of Dan Buckingham, Tim Johnson.
Oh yeah, way back then. Yeah.
So when I was slowly coming in, they were slowly making their exit.
Mm.
I got started, I think Parafed, I got started Parafed around 2010.
Yeah.
Because that's when I started taking wheelchair rugby a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it always like casual up to that point?
Yeah, because I just saw rugby or just disability sport itself as a little getaway.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a little something that I could do on the side.
Yeah.
But then after my first year, being selected for the development team, I sort of started taking it serious.
Yeah.
It was like, well, there's potential, there's travelling potential, there's potential of going to another country, there's all this other stuff, getting out of the house, biggest bonus.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And so you would have been, 16 at that point? So
14.
14 at that point when you started to take it more seriously? So when you were younger than that, did you play a lot of sports, or did you always be like, I want to be competitive? Or
As a kid, my teacher aides did try and get me through cross country.
Yeah.
So I did cross country in my day trip.
Oh, cool.
This is when I had both my limbs.
Yeah.
They did try to do swimming, try to force swimming on me.
Yeah.
I guess when you're intermediate, they try and push independence on you straight away.
Yeah.
They try and make you do, because when my school did do sports, I did like adaptive sports, mm-hmm. like small little rounds around the field.
Yeah.
I did like hula hoop stuff.
Oh, that sounds
nerdy. Sounds so weird. I did hula hoops because they wanted to test my trunk.
I was going to say, hula hoops is a skill, man. That stuff is hard.
So we did that. I wasn't really active as a kid.
Yeah.
The only thing that was active was my mouth. I ate a lot.
So I thought you'd talk a lot. Like.
And that too. Yeah. That too. So like, eating was strengthened, and it was just training for my talking. So that's all I did.
Yeah. And do you think, if this is too sensitive, then don't worry about it. But do you think, like, having a disability from the get-go, was it ever, like, people always think, oh, it's a disadvantage. Did it ever approach you as a disadvantage? Or was it just, like, take life as it is?
Take life as it is. For me, in my culture, the Samoan culture, having a disability is a letdown. Because when you're born in the islands, the parents rely on the kids to do the chores around the land. So you got to lift the rocks, you got to do the cooking, you got to look after your siblings.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's with my family. When I was born, I contracted this. You know how the most Pacific Islanders, you have a massive family tree?
Yeah.
So you have like uncles of uncles of uncles. As soon as I contracted this, at least 75% of my family left us.
Wow.
So they were like, well, how is your kid going to provide for you?
Yeah.
How is your kid going to provide for you if you can't do any chores around the house? You can't even mow the lawn, can't even do the laundry.
And you're in Samoa at this point as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as, because my parents went to Samoa because they were about to get deported.
Yeah.
Because they weren't residents. But as soon as I contracted this and it got serious, they got their citizenship straight away. Everything worked out. So most people look at the disability as a curse. I look at it as a blessing. Because if I didn't get this, my life wouldn't be a lot more different.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like being a part of this community for the last few years now is my mind before, I was like, oh, like having a disability, it's horrible. Blah, 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 blah. But being around like yourself and so many other people in this community, it's like, you guys rock it. Like, I will always claim that everyone in this community is like the rawest, truest, most honest, genuine and authentic people that I've ever met, just because you guys are so willing to take life and just go for it and just really take advantage of everything and every opportunity.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess like when you were a kid, it was exactly like that. You just kind of went for it and wasn't really bothered by anything.
Yeah, because I guess as a kid, you don't really know what's happening. You don't, can't really pick up on people's vibes. And you just, as you see, go with the flow, go with it.
Yeah.
But slowly, the older you get, the more mature you get, the more open you are, and you can easily just pick up what people are trying to say.
Yeah, and that social like interaction becomes huge around that teen years and things.
Yeah,
exactly. And so back to the sporting life of Barney. As you grew up and as you became more competitive, what was it about sports that you like wanted to dedicate yourself to? Like, wanted to get competitive, like, wanted to train more, wanted to be better.
I guess what I, like, before it was all the travel.
Oh, yeah?
I loved the travel.
Get around.
I reckon when I got the opportunity to make the development team and what they said, where the development team will be going, I was like, oh, there's actually potential of international travel. I thought all of this was just domestic.
Yeah.
My first time on a plane was to Christchurch.
Oh, wow.
So we had nationals back in 2008. That was my first time. On a plane.
Were you like a little kid like that?
Yeah, I was really happy. I had to fight with my teammates to get the window seat. They were like, I think I threw a tantrum on the plane. I was young. They couldn't, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I want that. And then the manager we had at the time was like, yeah, you better get that to him. The flight will not be taken off.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, man.
And so what's kind of... like, where are you going now? What's your intention now? I mean, with rugby? Yeah, with rugby especially, like, it's huge at the moment.
Well, I think for rugby at the moment, I'm kind of taking a gap year. Mm-hmm. So, focusing on myself, trying to get myself. Because what I tell myself is, as a 3-5, as the person that has the highest classification in my sport,
mm-hmm.
I'm not at the level I should be at.
Yeah.
I should be dominating.
Yeah.
I should be... on top of my game.
Yeah.
If I have people that are lower class than me, like, I'm not talking down on other people, but if someone that is half a point lower than me and they're dominating me, what does that look like on the...
Yeah.
That doesn't really look good on my side.
Yeah. Do you want to explain for people that haven't, like, they don't understand the classifications in rugby? Do you just want to explain that a little bit?
Sure. So, in rugby, there's a 0.5... to 3.5, 0.5 being the lowest and 3.5 being the highest.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on your level of injury, it's depending on your classification.
Yep.
So 0.5 is the people that normally have the injuries all the way up here.
Yeah.
So they have less mobility, more mobility.
And stability as well. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And you have 2-pointers who are mostly paraplegics, so just paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah.
And they have full, well, not full use of the upper body. Their hands might not work well, but at least they can move.
And they got abs.
Yeah, exactly. Like nothing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then you have 3.5s, 3 to 3.5s who have full use of their body, but have parts of their body that doesn't work. So maybe they might have missing limbs like myself.
Yeah.
Or they might have one side of their body that doesn't operate properly.
But their other side might be really, really strong. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
so
cool.
It's like an able body with a little disability.
Yeah, a little bit of a disability. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and then... because there's players on the court at any one time, and that like addition of those numbers can't exceed how much is it?
It's 8 points.
8 points. Yeah.
So you have a high pointer, say a 3-5. Then you have you can have 2 3-5s at once.
Yeah.
But you need to have 2.5s at the same time.
Yeah.
So you can't really go over 8. Just
you can't
to make
chuck
it...
all your good players.
Yeah.
On one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be really unfair.
Yeah. And so you taking responsibility of like your skill, your ability, your strength and things like that. What kind of journey has that looked like? Because that's quite recent. What has that kind of looked like for you? Is that a mental thing or is that a physical ability thing?
A bit of both. It is for rugby, it is a mental game.
Yeah.
Physical plays a major role. So like fitness, strength, all of that. But that's why we're grateful to have Jan on our conditioning team. Because he pushes us really hard. It's not that European, that French side that comes up.
That you don't want to talk back to him.
Yeah,
as well.
So if the team pisses him off, he takes it out on me. I was like, well, what the hell is this, mate? But I guess it all starts mentally. So if your alarm clock goes off in the morning, and say you set the alarm for 6:30 and you have training in the morning,
yeah,
it's a mental game. You're like, oh, it's too early, it's too cold, I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
So you gotta convince yourself. Hey, you gotta. So I picked up this little I don't know what it's called. It's like a little thing where it goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
So as soon as your alarm goes off, you turn off the alarm, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you throw yourself out of bed.
That's great.
So that's what I'm doing every morning.
I haven't heard of that one before. That's really cool.
That's because, you know, all those motivational things you see on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, you do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
TED Talk
like,
stuff.
Yeah. It's like, oh, so that's what inspiration is.
There's one from TED Talk, and like I heard it maybe not even that long ago. It was like at a coaching workshop, and then since then, it's like the monkey in the cage. So if you like imagine like your inner voice is this crazy monkey that's just causing havoc. And in like anxious situations and like stressful moments, you have to like talk to your monkey. Monkey, get back in the cage, like calm down, sit down, eat your banana, close the door. And then your brain's like, and we're good. And I've like thought it was not silly. I was like, oh, that's like a kid's version of whatever.
Yeah.
But I've like used it and I'm like, oh my God, this is game changing.
This is
amazing. But it's interesting how like those little tricks work for a physical sport. The mental stuff makes the difference.
Absolutely. Because I mean, if you do play rugby or any sort of sport, what we were taught through psychology. So we have like a psychologist part of our team.
Yeah.
And what they teach us is at trainings, you need to be as loud as possible.
Yeah.
So when you get to Paralympics or you get to Oceania, there will be crowds, there will be hundreds, close to thousands of people.
Yeah.
And there will be a commentator yelling over the speaker.
Yeah.
And you need to drown all of that out and focus on your coach and your teammates.
And your game.
So don't let anything else distract you.
What do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned as an athlete and as a person from having to train?
Right. So I think the biggest lesson I've learned ever since when I first started, I thought that my talent will help me dominate. I was like, oh, I'm Pacific Islander, it comes natural.
Yeah.
I could just eat a lot of junk food and I'll train it all, and then my physical Islander side will take care of my game. I kind of learned that the hard way when we went to Europe, went to Germany, and I got shot down by a one pointer.
Oh my God. Later.
Like, legit on court, I was sprinting, he just came around, I was like, how are you at one point?
Yeah.
So it's like, if I get shut down by players, like I said before, if I get shut down by players that are lower class than me, it kind of makes me look bad, makes me feel makes me feel worthless upon the team, because as a 3-5, you're supposed to be carrying your team.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one of the things that pushed me even more. So if I train more, I can become more dominant.
Yeah.
I can take more pressure. I can take the pressure away from my team, and then my team can easily just bob and weave through everyone else.
Yeah. So you're kind of taking, you've learnt like more leadership positions in terms of how you play and what you do. That's pretty cool.
I'm still trying to get the talking side out.
Yeah.
Because I guess most people that know me and most people that play with or against me, they know that I'm just a, what's that word that they use? The dumb muscle?
The dumb muscle?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
So you know how when you go do a heist or you do bank robbery?
Yeah.
Oh, God, this sounds
dodgy. Yeah, I'm like nodding like, sure.
And you have like people that do it subtly, like they hack the alarm before they go in.
Yeah.
And you have the idiots that break down the door and the alarm goes
off.
That sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
So I'm on the side where I break down the door and then I don't care about the cops. That's what I mean.
Okay. I'm on board now. I was like, where's this going?
Is this confessions? Or you can cut that out if you want.
Exactly. No, it's cool. And do you get much like anxiety or do you feel much pressure like in that leadership role when you are training, when you're competing and things like that?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I still do.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to think whether it's anxiety or just pre-game jitters. Is that the
question? Well, yeah. Well, I like a lot of people like the nerves are good, the adrenaline's good kind of thing.
Yeah,
Do you manage it? Like, how do you manage it?
So, it's all, like as I said before, it's all about drowning everything out.
Yeah.
So it's you and your team versus everyone else.
Yeah.
So, what Dan Buckingham told me when I first started is that when you're on court, the only thing that matters is your teammates. Forget about the bench, forget about what the coaches are yelling. We have a clear vision of what's going on court.
Yeah.
They can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's all about drowning everything out, drowning everyone out.
So I think we'll close it very slowly with, if you were going to time travel right now and you were going to go see a younger self, what would you tell that younger self?
I'd probably tell myself to be more careful and think mm-hmm. about the consequences before I do anything.
Yeah.
So be more aware and just know that there are consequences for things, you know, bad things or whatever.
Yeah.
There are consequences for things that you will do.
Yeah. And I think that's as well, like, appropriate for sport and out of sport, but then as well, like, positive and negative experiences, like everything, like Newton says, like, there's always a reaction from anything, you know?
But I guess with people, when you think of mistakes, people run away from mistakes.
Yeah.
Where if I was young, I taught my younger self to run towards it.
Yeah.
Because if you run away from it, the older you get, you might run into that mistake. And if you run into it young, you can learn and grow from it.
Yeah.
Grow as a person. And yeah.
And just take responsibility from
exactly.
it and just, yeah, soak it up. That's true. Well, I think we'll call it there. Is there anything you want to, like, close up with and tell the crew or...?
No, yeah, be happy, be yourself, and follow me on Instagram.
Boom, and put the thing. Yeah, so for those of you that aren't watching or listening to this on Instagram, on YouTube, look what you've done to me, on YouTube, all of the information you need to get in touch with Bunny is in the comments, whether that's above or below us, I'm not sure. But thank you so much for swinging in. It's always a pleasure to catch up, man. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Awesome.